Welcome back to EcoTalk, and it is always a pleasure to bring in our partners for their partner segments, this one with the Natural Resources Defense Council. And the NRDC has just opened a science center in Washington, D.C., and it's staffed by four scientists. And we're going to be speaking with the woman running it to find out why such a center was needed. There are a lot of scientists out there. The NRDC even has scientists already on its staff. But then again, we're living in unusual times, and drastic times call for drastic measures, and this is probably one of those good extreme measures to open up its own science center. I think that's a first for an environmental group. We're going to bring in Dr. Gabriela Chavarria, if I said that correctly. And welcome to EcoTalk.
Thank you very much.
So, why the need for a science center in an organization that already has, of course, mostly lawyers, but also scientists as well?
Well, you know, we have seen for the past 6 years an erosion in how science is used to address environmental problems. And the environmental ideologues and industry lobbyists have launched an aggressive campaign to censor, to discredit, to ignore quality science that could help improve our lives. And because of influence peddling in the government agencies that are supposed to be our protectors, scientific ideals have been held hostage, and progress has been overhalted on many, many issues. So we saw a need for real cutting-edge science that could help create solutions, and the desire for an honest broker who is willing to bring scientists, government, business, and our communities together to make these solutions a reality. And NRDC, you know, was very well positioned to do this.
Yes, and what's your background?
I have a PhD in evolutionary biology from Harvard University. I'm very interested in conservation of pollination and invasive species. And I spent a lot of time working with a lot of the nonprofits in the Washington area, like the National Wildlife Federation, Defenders of Wildlife. But I spent also several years doing work for a philanthropic foundation, always translating science for, you know, general knowledge, for people to understand what these difficult scientific issues were.
And you worked for a time in Mexico and perhaps other parts of Central America, South America?
Yes, actually, my PhD was everything you want to know about the bumblebees of Mexico, Central, and South America. Mm-hmm. So I've been collecting bumblebees all over the world, really. And I was born and raised in Mexico City and then moved to the United States to do my PhD.
Okay, so just Mexico and the United States. What's their environment like, just very briefly? Then we'll get to ours, which, Lord knows, there's a lot to talk about here as well.
Well, Mexico also has, you know, a lot of challenges in the environmental field. And unlike the United States, you know, Mexico is just starting to create a whole environmental movement. They don't have the same amount of nonprofit organizations. And certainly, you know, they don't have the capacity to litigate against a lot of the environmental issues that are happening. And then, you know, they see the government, you know, taking advantage. And, you know, we're, you know, trying to build that infrastructure that will definitely help advance the movement, not only in Mexico, but in a lot of, you know, third world countries.
Is Mexico City still choked with traffic and pollution?
Yes. Traffic pollution, lack of clean air, not enough water, too many people. It's a beautiful city, but it's just, you know, totally congested.
Okay, let's turn our microscope back on this country because we have enough ecological challenges.
Yes, we do.
On our own. And that really brings me to my next question. The possibilities are so broad. What will the Science Center's areas of priority be?
Well, of course, one of our first priority is climate change. And we just hired a fellow, George Peridas, who's going to be doing a lot of research on the whole carbon capture and storage, working in, you know, we don't have sound guidelines to dispose carbon. And he's going to be looking at, you know, geological reservoirs, environmentally friendly areas where we can deposit a lot of these carbon before it makes it to the atmosphere. One of our second priorities right now is going to be genetics. We have a fellow right now who has been looking into the protection of endangered species. Believe it or not, we have no national policies or guidelines about the proper use of genetics and what role such studies should play in determining whether a certain taxonomic group is afforded protection. So she's been doing a lot of research of how, you know, the federal agencies have used or not used genetic information. And then our third fellow has been working, Sarah Jensen. She's been working in endocrine disruption, which, you know, in lay terms means, you know, talking about the chemicals in the environment that mimic a lot of the hormones and how the hormones act. And she's been doing a lot of research, teaching and outreaching to explain what all these chemicals in the environment are doing to our system,
yes,
to our health.
We do a lot of conversations about that here at EcoTalk. Dr. Chavarria, what will be the audience for your work? Who will you be giving this to? Scientific journals, politicians, the public?
Our audience is going to be everybody. I mean, the principal role of the center is going to be to translate science, the best up-to-date science for everybody. If it's the scientists, if it's journalists, if it's the general public, our members, it's for everybody. We're going to be, you know, a broker of information and bringing the most up-to-date information to them.
And what's an area of particular interest for you personally?
Personally, pollinators. I'm very interested in the whole conservation of, you know, the birds and the bees. from the point of view that, you know, we all eat. And because of pesticide use and habitat destruction, a lot of these critical animals that are, you know, in general non-charismatic, because, you know, most people don't like bees, but, you know, they provide a great service, and we take that service, pollination, for granted. And the other area that I'm very interested is invasive species, which is, you know, embedded in all of our work within NRDC, because it affects climate change, it affects our health, it affects our environment.
Have we messed up the bees yet? Is our climate change affecting their natural cycles yet?
Yes. Yeah, because in a lot of the areas where, you know, we didn't have a lot of these invasives because of the weather, now because the weather is getting either hotter or colder, you know, these invasives are finding new habitats.
They're being forced elsewhere. And,
exactly.
And why should we humans care about that?
About invasives?
Yeah, about this trend happening. I mean, they're just insects.
Well,
why does
these,
it impact us?
A lot of these organisms, you know, they don't belong here. And, you know, they're coming to occupy an ecosystem. They're taking advantage of an ecosystem that they, you know, they didn't live in. And, you know, most of these invasives use more water. They take more minerals from the soil. A lot of them, you know, bring pests. Some of them, you know, we use in our gardens and we don't even realize it. And, you know, they suddenly take over. So there are species that, you know, they don't belong into this ecosystem.
And what about just the whole upsetting of the, you know, the web of life? And you tug on one thread of the ecosystem and it's felt throughout and you get something else at the other end.
And that's exactly what you're doing. You're upsetting the web of life. And, you know, in some cases, you know, you can go back. But in most cases now we're seeing that, you know, in combination with climate change, in combination with, you know, the lack of clean water, of, you know, not clean air, a lot of these species are taking over and we're not going to be able to go back.
Hmm. And so we'll look forward to a lot coming out of the Science Center. And as a nonprofit, you see that you can be very effective here, I'm sure, and add to the dialogue that is out there already.
Yes, correct. I mean, we are a nonpartisan organization. So, and, you know, like all Americans, we want, you know, have a clean, safe environment where we work, live, and play.
And just in our last minute, do you think the development of this Science Center is positive, or is it too bad that in this day and age, environmental organizations have to hire, actually expand their own scientific research because the scientists are, in some cases, not being believed that are already out there and highly credible, you would think?
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that we're doing this. And, you know, hopefully more organizations will increase their scientific capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Environmental
organizations. So much great work has been doing inside. And, you know, we just need to continue to bring more scientists. You know, we need more science everywhere.
Environmental science, I mean, that is our life, right? Talk about ecosystems and web of life.
Exactly.
Well, thank you and congratulations on the new Science Center opening.
No, thank you very much.
In Washington, D.C., the NRDC at work, Dr. Gabriella Chavarria. Thanks again.
You did. Thank
and
you.
We'll be back right after these messages.